Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Fillmore District Council Member Mitch Nowakowski, and right now you're in Allentown at 2 St. Louis Place, outside of a structure that has been abandoned for well over a decade. It was written in 2016 for housing court with over 17 open violations. It's been a trial since 2019, and yet we have nothing happening behind here besides blight and abandonment. Now, this structure has caused not only a excess of 911s, 311s, and neighbors' calls to be able to deal with and address issues such as blight, abandonment, overgrown trash. We've had people squat inside this structure. We've had a fire outside of the structure. We've even had someone pass away in this structure. It is a threat to public safety. It denigrates the neighborhood, and it's because we have unscrupulous slumlords that allow the city of Buffalo and their structures to basically fall on everyone's head. So my neighborhood that is behind me are neighbors that live next to this structure. And my question is to folks is, would you want to live next to this structure? Would you, your family, want to be able to raise your family and have children to enjoy your backyard and your home and live next to this structure when it's a threat to public safety? As their council member, I'm not putting up with it. And for, we've seen in 40 Cottage where the city of Buffalo has teamed up with Preservation Buffalo Niagara at 40 Cottage, where we were able to move that property into receivership. Now, throughout that duration of that time in housing court and doing 40 Cottage into receivership, we noticed that there were some kinks in the state law that needed perfecting. That's why we have Senator Sean Ryan and we have Assemblymember John Rivera, who have active legislation in Albany to help these tweaks to empower the city of Buffalo to be able to remove dilapidated and blighted structures into receivership to bring them up to code. So not only that they're the health and safety aspect of it protects the neighborhood around it, but also make sure that renters aren't exploited in renting properties that are in active housing code violations and that are not safe. So as you can see from behind me, I have constituents like Father Sal, who lives adjacent to it. I have Lynn Wilson, who lives behind the structure and who will tell you immediately what problems exist when blight and abandonment happens in neighborhoods and what it really entails to the everyday life of people who have to live adjacent to these structures. I'm going to move it to Assemblymember Rivera, who has an active legislation before the New York State Assembly, who will talk about being one of the sponsors of the bill.
Let's give it up for Mitch Nowakowski.
All right.
Well, I want to thank the council member for bringing us all together. You know, across New York State, we've been hearing for years, and it's been bubbling up more and more, that we have a housing shortage, and we have all kinds of issues around housing. And frankly, some of this is on individual local governments for not really following through on plans or creating plans or coming up with methods by which we can tackle these problems. And some of this is on, you know, frankly, as the council member said it, landlords that are just falling asleep behind the wheel, intentionally moving in indifference and doing little to nothing with their properties. And who ends up paying for it are, frankly, the neighbors and residents, but also the city of Buffalo itself. So what the senator and I have come together on is creating a bill that gives specific language, specific definitions, specific protocols on how the city can move forward on receivership. We believe that, you know, what's going to be the future of this city is what makes the city unique, and that's its architecture. And every day that goes by where we are doing nothing with these, with pieces of property like this, makes it so it's that much closer to demolition. We saw what happened last year with demolitions that we fought against, but the city still moved on. We have to do everything we can to avoid demolitions. What's gonna make us stand out and what's a part of our future is the thing that brought us from where we were to our glory days to here today, and that is our architecture, that's our buildings, that's our infrastructure, that's what brings people to Buffalo from frankly all over the world. That's what impresses people. As much as we're all supporters of all of our other assets, if we don't take care of our housing stock, if we don't take care of our buildings, we would just be just like any other city. And I believe that the future of Buffalo is tied to this. If we don't figure out housing, we will not have a city. I'm a deep believer in this. I know the council member is. And I want to bring up Senator Ryan, who's been leading on, frankly, housing issues long before being in public office. And I want to thank him for all his years of service. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So sometimes you live in Buffalo long enough and you keep getting a sense of deja vu. I can't tell you how many times I've appeared in front of buildings that have been allowed to turn into miserable blights on the neighborhood. Just over 3 years ago, Councilmember Nowakowski and Assemblyman Rivera and I did a press conference in front of Cobblestone. And we called for those buildings to be put into a receivership program. We called for those buildings to have strict code enforcement. And we all know that a fire ripped through those buildings quite recently. We don't want to be back in front of this building after a fire rips through it or a storm knocks a wall down. Property owners have a responsibility in the city of Buffalo, and the city of Buffalo has a responsibility to hold property owners accountable. We see what one blight building can do to a block. It does not encourage investment. It makes the neighbors who are holding on become despondent and discouraged. So we're going to give one more tool in the toolbox for the city to be able to take buildings like this into a receivership program. But we all need to take responsibility. And certainly the city needs to take firm responsibility for buildings that slowly but surely become eroded. This building didn't become in this shape in 1 year. So code compliance is super important. We have great tools. The New York State Historic Tax Credit would help subsidize the repair of a building like this. We have the receivership program, but we're going to beef it up to make it so it's even more user-friendly. Organizations throughout Western New York have been talking about, you know, the economic impact of historic preservation, and certainly a leader in that is Preservation Buffalo Niagara, and it's my pleasure to bring up their director, Lynn Radel.
Oh, Bernice Radel.
I'm sorry. Your sister.
My sister always gets a shout out on the news. I love it. Yeah.
Word.
No, it's okay. My name is Bernice Radel. I'm the executive director at Preservation Buffalo Niagara. And what everybody said today is correct. Preservation matters in Buffalo. It brings in tourism dollars. It brings in tax money. So if we want to see our taxes not have to be increased over and over and over again, buildings like this, when renovated, pay taxes. And that's a really important thing. I wanted to point out a very important piece of this puzzle, which is Preservation Buffalo Niagara is a certified receiver. I myself have the training. We have several people on staff that are trained. And we actually have over $100,000 sitting in a bank account right now to deal with this building if we can get city and housing court to say yes to allowing us to receive this property. $100,000, it can't be used anywhere else. It can be used for this building and a few others that he owns. And I really want to say that out loud because we do want to do something, and we can do something tomorrow if this were to unlock. And that's really important here, okay? Other than that, I really want to also point out that you're going to hear from our success, from Andre in a second. We were able to do this receivership program a few years ago, and now a building in Allentown has been renovated. It's a success story. This does work, and we want to do more and more of it as an organization. Thank you.
So we've identified the problem. We've identified a solution, but I want you to hear from two neighbors that live directly adjacent to this structure to hear what they have to deal with every day by living next to a vacant and blighted structure in their own neighborhoods. So I'm going to bring up Lynn Wilson and Father Sal.
Hello, everyone. I just wanted to point out that I vote, pay my taxes, and when I go to mow my lawn, this is what I see. I see drug addicts. I've seen a dead body. I've seen a fire that I wondered was going to come onto my property. I don't want to live like this anymore. And I've been told that there's the money to fix this problem. So please, I beg the courts, fix this problem. I don't want to live like this anymore.
Excellent.
Thank you. I'm Father Sal Manganiello. I was pastor at St. Louis. I still live here at St. Louis Church. And I've been looking at this for about 20 years. When I first moved in about 20 years ago, there were people living here, but shortly after that, they all moved out. And then this is what the building became over the years. Looking out the window, sitting on my porch, I see drug addicts up there, people passed out in the parking lot. We find needles in the parking lot. I was the one who called the police the day the dead body was found up here. And it just continues to go on and on and on. If it weren't for the mayor's impact team, this lot would never get cleaned up. It would continue to look the way it does right now. The view of this building has no good side. You look at the front, you look at this side, you look at the back, you look at the other side. It's a complete mess that needs to be cleaned up, and we've been trying to get this done for I don't know how many years, contacting the city, contacting our council member, and nothing seems to happen. And it all seems to wind up that the holdup is housing court. If housing court could move along, then we might be able to see something happen here. This piece of property we're all standing on was slated for development, but the developer stopped the program because of this here behind us. Who would want to live next to this? And that's the reason why the development never happened.
Thank you, Father Sal. I'd like to bring up a success story of receivership. Andre, if you could please come up.
Hi, my name is Andre Sadoff. I'm a Buffalo native. At a time where housing is in shortage, affordably and safely, I'm very appreciative to have the opportunity to become a homeowner in the city that I was becoming nervous I may not be able to do so in. My front house was vacant for 6 years. My back house was vacant for 12 years. Very thankful for the help of Evergreen Health Services, helping me clean up over 500 needles in the back house. We have a shortage of safe housing big time, and I very much hope that the continued implementation of this program can help address that. Thank you.
So before I open up for questions, I'd like to identify a lot of things that were said here. So not only was a large and positive development slated for right next to adjacent property and pulled, so think about the economic development that was going to come to this neighborhood that was pulled because of this vacant structure, but then ultimately think about the health and safety. So if this lights up in fire, we are going to have police and fire risking their lives to put out the fire and the immediate health hazard that is around the area. And then think about the mayor's impact team and DPW and 311 and 911 and those taxpayer resources that are being wasted on a vacant and abandoned structure. Enough is enough. We have to come up with different tools, and we have to be aggressive about it, because slumlords and vacant and abandoned structures cost the city taxpayers a lot of money, and they really prohibit us from moving forward in a positive way. And I really want to kind of take questions if you have it, ask questions about 40 Cottage or from the senator or from myself. I'd like to open it up.
Is the landlord local, and are out-of-town, I guess out-of-state landlords an issue when it comes to trying to preserve some of these properties?
Great question. So the owner, we do believe, the authorities are attempting to locate them. I have issued a subpoena from the Common Council to subpoena him to Council Chambers. I know that he has an active warrant out for his arrest in housing court. The trial began in 2019, and he still has not been located to face the charges before him for the multiple properties, because he also owns a vacant abandoned structure on Johnson Park, Maryland, Cottage, and now here. He's basically what I would consider a house hoarder, and at the last moment, he'll write a tax check to be able to pay his taxes to make it that much harder for his property to be taken into inventory. And the question is do out-of-town landlords hold a death grip on the progress of the city of Buffalo? And they absolutely do. They hide behind LLCs. They go into housing court with a fancy lawyer. They get the case adjourned for 8 months. So yes, when you're sitting in a courtroom and you get something adjourned for 8 months, 8 months is when the neighborhood is living around this. So we have this archaic solution in housing court that gets to just adjourn things while inactive in real time. Our building and our structures are decaying before our eyes, and they're a threat to public safety and development.
I understand that this bill has made its way through the Senate, but still in committee in the Assembly. What's the likelihood of that making that through and then making this more of a reality?
So this bill was introduced in June of this year. As you know, the session concluded in June. It's unlikely that we're going to go back to session this year, but I'm confident it's going to make itself out of committee in the upcoming session. Yep.
I just would talk about, you know, these buildings don't end up like this overnight. You know, this is almost a generation of neglect, but you need to stay on the property owners from the start. You know, we're seeing a similar situation occurring right now in Black Rock with Volker's Bowling Alley. You know, it's closed now. It's boarded up. Some of the windows aren't boarded up. Trash is being dumped there. But unless there's aggressive code compliance from the start, it just slips from a little bit worse, a little bit worse, a little bit worse. Then there's going to be a fire, and firefighters put themselves at risk. But these are problems, you know, we can see them coming. And so we need to address them at the front end. 20 years ago, if we had addressed this problem, we probably wouldn't be here today.
And then just in terms of the bill, can you just more simplistically just kind of explain the specific procedures that the city of Buffalo or the receiver would, the authority that they have once they have
Yeah, that's a great question. So when we were able to do this at 40 Cottage and we moved receivership forward, we learned that there were a lot of kinks in the law because the Housing Court Act was from 1978. So when the receiver came in, there's a lot of definitions that need to be cleaned up. Abandonment needed to be tighter because we're dealing with an abandoned structure. But I will take it from and give it to Bernice Radel, who can explain better on how this works.
Yeah. So, you know, in a nutshell, basically, you have to be a certified receiver, which there is training. We are certified. And then we can, of course, we're in a tornado. And then we can take that as a receiver, certified receiver, we can take that property, provide the owner with a request essentially to fix, repair the building, board it up, fix the roof, etc. If they don't comply, then we come in and fix the roof or board it up or whatever the case may be. And then they owe us money for that. And if they don't pay us back, we can then receive the property. That's a short end of that. And that's how we did it with Cottage. We did that with only $15,000 out of Preservation Buffalo Niagara's funds to do that. We were able to do a big project with only $15,000. I mean, that's a very good return on investment. And we got the money back. So, yeah.
Any questions?
Yeah, I know we're going to like try and kind of grind out the weather, but yeah. Just for you and the pastor, can you just explain more to me what you would like to see with this building and what it would mean to you if it were to be transformed and not sitting here dilapidated?
It looks like this building has possibilities. Mm-hmm. Don't look at the back porches. Those have to come down. But the rest of the building seems to be solid, and somebody could actually do something productive with this building if they were given the chance. If the owner of the building would relinquish the building and somebody else had the possibility of doing something, it could be a beautiful building. It is a nice looking building beyond the ivy and beyond the porches and stuff like that. Once you clean it up, it's a nice looking building. It didn't always look this way. It took about 15 years to get like this, and it just keeps getting worse, obviously.
So for me, as Father said, the porches being gone would be a great improvement, but I'd like to see everything else gone, the people that hang out here gone, so that I can enjoy my backyard, so that I can invite you over. Maybe we could have a barbecue. I can't do that now because I don't know what you're going to see to embarrass me. I'd like for my grandchildren to be able to play in the yard, for my dogs to run in the yard, and for me not to be threatened by the people that hang out on that porch.
Sorry, could you just say and spell your name again?
My name is Lynn Wilson, LynnWilson.
Thank you.
Father said you got a big, beautiful Italian last name. Can you spell it for the cameras, please?
Okay.
Short form first name is Sal Manganiello, MANGANELLO.
And the last two things I'd like to clarify, because I can't talk forever, is the same owner that we were able to receive Andre's property is the same owner that owns the structure behind us. So he is an unscrupulous slumlord who hoards properties and keeps neighborhood in blight. So, and I wanted to have it here because seeing is believing. B-roll, you could see the structure and the damage that it causes, and you have to be able to see it for yourself instead of a fancy dry room. So I really appreciate everyone braving the weather for me.